Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hi, welcome to the Real Housewives of Rewatch. I'm Sue Funk, and I'm here with not Danielle. Oh my goodness, Danielle's not here this week. She just returned to work. She is a new mom who left her baby. Actually, today was the first day that she left her baby. There was somebody there, don't worry. Is just going through it and getting some time to readjust, but we're going to come back next week. But this week, we didn't want to leave you hanging, so I invited a very special friend of mine. I'm very excited that she's here. Please welcome to the pod, comedian Katie Regal, everybody.
Yeah.
Hi. Actually, this is a weird time to tell you, but I've decided to go by Kate.
Kate, I love it.
We've only
known each other for years, but
despite this, we do talk every single day, basically. Despite this,
Kate's a great Ben Folds song, so I'm all for it.
That's true. Who's from this town or my town?
Oh, see, do you know that Ben Folds is married 5 times? We're already on tangents.
Is that the Ben Folds 5?
He married each of his band members and himself. No, it was just something that I found out this weekend that I was like, you kind of like listening to his songs, you're like, he's a one woman kind of man. And it's like,
yeah, no. That does surprise me.
We were trying to figure out if he traded like to younger women. Like we couldn't get that information from the quick Google that we were doing. It was my friend and I while we were driving. So, you know, she was looking at, but yeah.
There's a 50-50 chance that I'll go on an ADHD rabbit hole later and find the answer for us.
I love that for us. So Kate is here today to work with me on recapping one of my favorite pilot episodes of a housewife ever. I think it's, to me, perfect. We rewatched Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, season 1, episode 1. And we're going to recap it for you on October 10th, 2023, with what we know today of where these women are in their lives and where we met them. Are you ready, Kate?
I think what struck me the most watching it too is like, you know, when you think back now, being like, oh, what was the beginning? Like every single beat that I remembered happened in that episode. It's so everything.
Yeah. They really, like, that's the thing that I'm always marveled by in this episode, is that it's like they give you everything that you want from a housewife show immediately. And it's just like when people are like, how do you feel about new Roni? I'm just like, they could never. Like they could never. Like, and like, did original Roni start out that great? There was a slow burn. First season was tough. Second season was really when we got into it. But like Salt Lake City, man, it was like the Lady Gaga of pop. Like just they studied, they were there, they knew what to do.
No one else has ever come quite so correct. Yeah, it's true. Like, this is like the Just Dance of pilots.
Right? It's so good.
First hit. Yeah.
So, you've got a dog? How many dogs do you have right now, Kate?
I'm so sorry. Well, no, yeah, okay. I have been dog sitting, but I'm back to my original two. They are two very good boys, one named Floof Boy and one named Mr. Man. They are working their way through their Halloween costumes already because, you know, we have a lot to get through before October 31st, but one of them's a little vocal, so I'm sorry. Hopefully he'll chill out.
I'm so excited to see what Housewives themed costume you decide to put them in at some point throughout this month, because I know there's going to be something.
Yeah, last year I did I definitely did a Meredith Marks Lisa Barlow, I think, actually inspired by Meredith Marks' dress in this episode, so we'll have to wait
love
for
that.
It.
I love that so much. I love that. It's just we start off so amazing because it's just like this voiceover of just, you know, Salt Lake and them describing it. And Jen, like jailbait Jen, Jen Shah, starts the whole thing. She is literally, I just wrote, she's the queen bee. And then it turns out her opening line is about being a queen bee.
Oh, so, I didn't recognize her voice at first. She sounded so like sweet and normal.
Yeah. Well, it's like her, it goes between all of the ladies. It's like her, then Heather, then, you know, they're just talking about like Salt Lake City, they're Mormons, you know?
Like, ever heard like, of it?
And then we go straight into like, basically it's like, this is what the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City are. This is what Salt Lake City is. And then it goes into their opening taglines. So Jen is about being like the queen bee, putting it on the map or something. I didn't write them word for word, guys. But Lisa is like, if you order cheap shots, you're going to get a hangover, which is about her many tequila brands. Whitney Rose has something about a little prick, which I was just like, I don't think that is as funny as you think it is.
Nothing Whitney does is ever as funny as she thinks it is. So that's perfect.
Meredith is jealousy is a disease.
Yeah, well, soon. Yeah. It was quoted by Heather and her daughters in the most recent episode.
Oh, that's a fun fact. Good job. Yeah. Full circle.
Oh my gosh, you're so welcome.
Mary's is like, I love God, but I will read you like scripture. I think that's what she said.
Yes.
It's pretty great. And like, Heather's like, I come from the pioneers of Mormonism, but I'm trying to blaze a new trail.
Oh, yeah, I like hers.
Yeah. Heather, I forgot just how likable Heather is when we first meet her. She's just the best. And, but we start off with Jen Shah, with Coach Shah and Jen. And it's this really cute scene between them and their kids. And she explains who she is. And this is another thing, like, going back to like current New York and even previous New York, like I love that in Salt Lake, we just immediately hear their backstories and like we see stuff about them. I thought it was like really nicely laid out that it was like, I'm Tongan, Hawaiian, Chinese, but in Utah, I'm Black, which I've heard a lot of talk about like this being problematic because actually a lot of Tongans live in Utah. There aren't that many people of Tongan descent, but there's over 9,000 Tongans in Salt Lake City.
And fascinating. They make
1% of the population of Salt Lake. So it isn't like that there are tons. It's not like they're the majority by any stretch, but it is like one of the largest concentrations outside of like Hawaii of Tongan people.
Well, I guess it makes sense, especially for community that is more family oriented, that if they're going to move somewhere else and they want to be closer to family and build that community too, so they all want to hang out.
I do find it weird that they were like, you know what, Hawaii, let's go skiing.
That's Salt Lake City, especially because Jen did grow up Mormon, so did they all convert to Mormonism? I mean, not all, it's not a monolithic group, but
talk too much about her Mormonism growing up. She did say that she was raised Mormonism, but we find out that Mormonism, a Mormon. We did find out that she and Coach met in college. They're trying to get one of their sons into med school, and she's trying to like talk to her other son about having a girlfriend, but she was raised Mormon and she asked Sharif to be Mormon with her, and he was like, you know, Mormons like hate black people, right? Like, and he's just like, and she was like, I did not, and those are my children and the man that I love. So, and then she says a Muslim phrase that I'm not even gonna try, like,
yeah,
it was, but like kind of like, yo. And she was very proud of being Muslim, but it's like the only time I feel like we really hear her being Muslim.
I know. Well, I love that they kind of addressed that in the first episode too. And like, I think that maybe it did set me up at the time to expect that like they would kind of be talking about Mormonism in more detail, the problems of it, instead of just it generally being a problem. But I liked that they at least kind of addressed that in the first step.
Yeah, and everybody does, because then we go over to Heather and we see that there's a 15-minute Botox parking lot spot at her
brilliant marketing
beauty lab and laser. We find out that Heather didn't move to Utah until she was 15 years old.
Oh yeah, you know what, I still, now I watched this episode I think 3 times, it still didn't like click with me that like, where was she before?
She doesn't say, which I find very interesting. And then also, like, she's from Mormon royalty, right? So maybe her family, like, were on a lot of missions or whatever. But
was
like,
I don't think she was. Her husband was.
But, like, she didn't move. Like, I don't know what her family was. Her family is also from Mormon royalty.
Oh, okay.
But, she and Angie, their like whole thing is like, oh, we were friends in high school. But I'm like, if you came in at 15, you like came into that high school, like you guys were like maybe friends at sophomores, but aren't you usually 14 when you go to high school? I don't know, I just felt like, I just thought that they were friends for longer, and like I'm like, you were the new girl in high school. Like,
yeah, that's just such like a good point.
It just gave me a different look at the dynamic. And maybe it's not anything, but I grew up in a town where like everyone was from the same town. We all went to the same nursery school. Like, so like somebody coming in and during high school, it's just like, to me, I was like, whoa, Heather came in and like, she was the new girl and Angie was friends with her. So yeah, I just thought that was very interesting. But she talks about how she's a purebred Mormon. And then we see old pictures of Heather, and oh my god, she looks so much older. Like,
I know, but I, you know what I love about Heather is like, and you can see it in this first episode, even though I can tell, like, I feel like you can already tell that she thought and the other cast members thought that she was going to be like the underdog, kind of like they didn't know she was going to be this, but she has such babe energy, you know. Yes. Like, she is just charisma, big smile, like you want to be around her, like, and just like, she's just hot. I don't know what to say about it.
She was a beautiful homemaker too. Like, she's beautiful, she looks great, and like she has a good energy because she's also very sure of herself, even though she does have some like sensitivities that we'll see in the as we go on. But there's the story about how her husband's family that Howard Hughes gave everything to.
Family. Yeah.
So still
also, quick Google, because I need to know these things. She was born in Carmel, California. And then they moved to Denver at age 5. And so that's where they were before Utah.
Okay. All right. That kind of tracks. West Coast girly.
West Coast girly.
Yeah, I can totally see that.
West Coast girly hanging out with Snoop Dogg.
So
Oh, I will say though, the very awkward, like, I like black men, but like as if it's like liking rap music. It's not like a genre. Like it was, oh,
like I
I
like the
get what she's
gays.
saying. So
I
cringe.
like mint chocolate chip ice cream.
Yeah, oh no, those are people.
It reminds me of I don't think we're at this season yet, but there's a season of New York where like there's a bring your gay to the party.
Oh yes.
And it's like horrific to think of just being like, you, what's your sexual orientation? You get to come with me.
I know. Oh my gosh. That did not age well. It wasn't great.
And I think it's really cute that meeting Heather's kids at Beauty Lab and Laser, they're getting treatments and they're like, they just have a good rapport. And the mom, like, she's just like, Heather is such a mom in this moment of just being like, I'm going to do whatever I can for my daughters. As she's telling us that, like, she was divorced and banished.
Yeah, well, and it's so fun too, because I guess, like, you know, obviously you don't want to go to like the little girls and be like, yeah, let's all go get Botox, but they are curious about mom's work, and you know, beauty is part of it. So it's fun to like have them go in and just like have the little, you know, age appropriate moment there.
They had like fun facials, which I was like, God, as a preteen, as a teenager, if my mom would give me, would have taken me for facials.
Oh my
Well,
gosh.
actually, that's she did. I had horrible skin, so she
Oh,
did.
I never went for one until I was an adult, but
They didn't seem as relaxing as they the girls had, I feel
it's
like.
like medically necessary.
And then we are introduced to Meredith, and good God,
Good
what a
job.
fucking fantastic introduction!
Did we
Because,
meet Brooks first?
yeah, we meet Brooks, and Brooks is like trying to like get ready, wrangle his parents for a hike, and Meredith is wearing Brooks Marks tracksuit,
Yes, she is.
wearing the label before we even knew how popular that tracksuit would be.
Did you see Jen wearing it later? We'll
No.
get to it. We'll get to it.
Okay. So, they're going hiking. Seth asked for a business plan. Like, I forgot, like, Seth is never really my favorite house husband, but I forgot just how horrible he is this season.
Yeah. They were like pretending to be married. Brooks was like, hello, I took the semester off to be on Bravo with my mother. Like,
Oh,
so
yeah. It's so obvious because she's like, he's here to do my makeup.
He couldn't have taken a class or two while that happened. No? Okay, great.
So they moved to Salt Lake 7 years prior, but they've been part-time there for 5 years. And she goes, it sounds like mostly for the high season in Salt Lake for her jewelry. So, but she's originally from Chicago and grew up, Jewish and living in high rises. I totally forgot that she was Jewish. I love that everyone's religion is so diverse on this cast,
I know.
especially being from Salt Lake City. I just love the casting there. They show her wedding photos and she looks literally nothing like herself. Like if you were
No, not
like, this
close.
woman is Meredith Marks, I'd be like, nope, that's just some that is like a JCPenney wedding ad from 1989. Like, you cannot tell me anything different.
It's
And
so funny too, because like I forgot where she was from, because I feel like every time they're on vacation, she's like, I came here as a girl. It's like,
I
oh, okay. Like, wait, what?
think she grew up really rich because she said she was in a high rise and like Seth is kind of giving her shit for like always living in like fancy apartments.
Yeah, I mean, I think that she grew up rich, but not like, you know, not like Aaron wealthy.
No. But like, I don't know. She definitely was not broke.
Now she's selling her old clothes on her website. Did you know this?
No.
I just found out because I was Googling her like while we were chit-chatting, and her meredithmarks.com, there's like fine jewelry, apparel, handbags, and then MM's Closet.
Oh.
With some poor intern who's modeling all of them.
Oh, no. Are you sure it's not her daughter?
I'm not sure. No, I'm not sure at all. She's blonde, but...
But, like, her boutique, like, she tells us that her boutique, like, dresses Rihanna, Charlize Theron, like, very famous actresses apparently go through for her jewelry and her, like, boutique's wares. So, and I mean, her closet does have to be fucking fabulous.
Yeah.
So they go on a hike, and Seth is just a total asshole. He's like, I need a business plan for this hike. And then he like tries to make like a very awkward dad joke about like, wouldn't it be funny if Brooks got mauled and we made a viral video about it? You would get so many followers. And like, Brooks is like, Brooks is horrified. He's like, that is so fucked up that you just said that on television, father. Thank you. So then we go over to Lisa Barlow.
Ugh.
And her waking up her children.
So and
seeing the hustle sign above one bed and grit above the other. It's horrible. I'm just like, so like give 110%. Like, and so I mean,
like, your worth is your production, like
100%. And I was just like, man, like those kids are gonna tell their shrink. Like, I woke up every day and had to see hustle, and my parents made me create a product line. You know, like,
isn't this the season where they all do their like goals too, like a corporate goal setting workshop basically?
Probably.
She's probably so
weird. Yeah. We meet Kendall, her dog, and there's talk of putting Kendall in a sweater, but we don't see it, and I'm very upset about that.
They don't get her all the way in.
Yeah, I really need dogs in sweaters. Is like, give it to me
please and thank you.
So she says she was Jewish heritage and Mormon by choice, that her mother
Jewish heritage, Mormon by choice. This is also before I could tell her and Meredith apart.
Oh, I couldn't tell them apart at all. And they do talk about that later on in the episode, but they don't, they look so similar.
I remember we were texting, I think during this episode, and we were like, who, what?
So that's also something we should tell them. Kate and I text while we watch Bravo shows constantly. That's like what we do. That's how I watch Bravo, is by commenting with Kate. Pretty much.
And honestly, nonstop. So good. And I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably already think like, wow, I wish Sue were my friend and we could just watch Bravo together. And I'm here to tell you that I have that privilege and it is amazing. So...
You're too kind. The thing that shocks me about Lisa is that her mom literally got the knock on the door but from Mormons and converted to Mormonism. And I literally have never heard that story.
I've been waiting for you.
I've been praying for you. Like, what?
Wow, isn't it funny now that like the whole thing is Jack's going on a mission?
Yeah.
So really, she accidentally indoctrinated him into doing that.
I mean, I just, I can't, and I'm not a very religious person, but I can't imagine someone knocking on my door and being like, you heard about Joseph Smith? And being like, yes, let's do this.
Let's get into it.
So I found that really interesting, and I was like, I want to watch a whole series about her mom being like, Mormonism, I love that, oh my god,
you know, right? Like, American Utah. Woman who let's watch the Meredith Marks mom origin story.
Yeah, all right, so let's sidetrack a little bit about American Woman. That's the Kyle Richards show about Big Kath, like loosely based on Big Kath and her bringing up herself and Kathy and Kim. And it was on TV Land. It was supposed to be on TV Land, and then it went on Paramount. I think that's what happened. But I worked on the first season. Like, I got to see the script and stuff, and I got to like watch some of the, I don't think it had launched to the point where they had actually shot it, but I did read the script before it came out. And Alicia Silverstone is the lead. And there was actually like a really great woman, I don't remember her name, who played her friend, who was really cool. And it was really a great show. Like, I feel like I was the only person on earth who watched all of it. I think it was just off season. I thought they did a good job with it. So Kyle, kudos.
Now I feel guilty that I only watched the pilot.
Honestly, I feel like I'm one of the only, like, if you also watched American Woman, please, at the Sue Funk, find me on a social media network and tell me about your experience with the show. Anyway, we find out also that Lisa's sister had a crush on John, and she's like, well, I married him, so too bad.
Who can blame her? Ooh.
It's real weird. It definitely gives like pick me energy. Mm-hmm. And that was when I wrote, this show is giving us so much. She does luxury marketing and alcohol brands. That's her job.
Right. And this is like the episode two where they introduce her as like the queen of Sundance. And I know that this season, like, we see a little bit of that, but it's mostly from the perspective of, like, she's too busy to hang with her family, and, like, she does this. I feel like I'm still waiting to see, like, the truth of that and, like, the glamour of that. I'm like, why is it her and not anyone else? And, like, where is she interacting with these people? Like, what is she bringing to the table that, like, is it...
I see her this season being like, you've got to turn up the lights. No, make them 30%. Perfect. Like,
yeah, like
it was not like you don't see these fabulous parties, but I think that's part of the fabulous party is that there's no cameras.
I know, but like, I feel like I want to see the name of that business. Like, is it like Lisa Barlow Party Planning? Like, I want to see the main assistant for that. Like, maybe these are just notes for producers. I will write my email to no one and send that later.
Perfect.
Great.
Then we go back to Jen Shaw, and it's Jen and Stu Chains.
Oh, you can't see me, but I'm giving a chef's kiss right now.
And we find out that Jen and Heather have known each other for years, and they bonded over rap, and that Stu really wants to go eat someplace. I feel
and
like
he knows when Jen gets her period.
Yeah,
that was my takeaway.
Well. The other thing, okay, so they're planning the party for Meredith's birthday, and they're driving along in the car, and like you said, like she's like, oh, like he knows everything, he buys my tampons. We later found out that Stu's wife didn't even know that he was Jen Shaw's assistant.
Right? But like, that's so weird. Like, what did she think that he was doing all day? Was
right? Like, I'm like, how does a man know another woman so well? And run around town assisting her this whole time. Because I don't think there was anything sexual between them. No. I was shocked to find out that he had a wife. Like, so it was just very much like, what?
Because also, you know that Jen wasn't respecting normal work hours.
Exactly. So I'm like, what did she think his job was? And who did she think he was talking to?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe she thought they were partners, not assistant. But it was just... It just sounds like she just had him doing so much bitch work that I'm just shocked that his wife didn't pick up on it. Like, wouldn't she be like, why are you at the cleaners? Like, you know, like, I don't know. It's just very weird. But I love this party that she's throwing for Meredith. That's really for herself. She's like, we're going to make it Studio 54 with hot strippers. Heather's like, oh, this is very surprising because Meredith's refined and elegant. And we see just like photos of Meredith in like very high slit dresses, which I thought was really funny. We see like a lot of thigh shots, upper thigh shots. I'm just like, yes, very elegant. And then we get our first Whitney scene.
Ugh.
And our first Whitney scene is a vow renewal. I mean, this is what I'm talking about. This is showing up. This is understanding the assignment. And like, I do get the feeling that they shot a lot of footage. Like, I feel like they shot with them for a year before they got anything.
Wasn't it true, like, they did a round and then they kind of threw it out and started it again or something? There was some...
I think so.
Yeah. But you're right. They, just like you said, they, we meet Whitney in the middle of saying her new vows.
And it's amazing. And they're, like, calling each other bitch and, like, honey. And, like, we find out he's 18 years older? Did I get that?
He doesn't look that much older than her.
He's 18 years older than her. But I gotta say, he is cute. Those dimples get me. He's very handsome.
I mean, you know, I never trust a blonde man, but he does seem nice.
Fair. That's a good rule. There, we found out that they've been married for 10 years. And I just remember, like, seeing this and cheering the first time I watched this episode. I was just like, this is everything I want from Housewives. Because not only do we see the vow renewal, but then we see her change and just ride her stripper pole. It's iconic. It's everything. It's just like, she literally gave me, like, so many seasons of Housewives in one fucking scene.
Seriously, she did. And she honestly, like, put everything on the line to be like, here's something to use against me for the rest of the season if you want. And, like, just left it all on the floor.
He also, when he's giving, he's like, I take you, Whitney fucking Rose. I was like, what? Like, I love a curse. This podcast is always marked explicit unless I forget to, but it is explicit. I can't imagine in a wedding vow being like my husband being like, Sue fucking funk everybody.
Like, the thing is, they just think they're so funny.
That's true.
And I'm like, I'm happy for that for you, but it's kind of, I don't need to see it because you're not that funny to me.
It's also what I find the funniest is, like, she, like, changes into bike shorts and a shirt with the help of Justin after her vows. He's like, yeah, you need something to, like, move and dance in. And I'm just like, this is so old school Whitney, because, like, you know, now she would have had, like, five gay men dressing her, like, in, like, glam, yeah. And, like, I mean, all sorts of stuff.
A different dress. I mean, you can't, yeah. You can't come up with a little flippy white skater dress from H&M or something. Come on.
Right? I was really like, come on, like, give me a Kmart second dress. I don't care.
Exactly.
Is Kmart still around? I don't think so.
It Walmart. Sure is. Kmart exists.
Like, I'm sorry. I have to stop myself because we just go to this crazy wedding and then it's like, and now there's still more episode. Like, I remember the first time I watched it, pausing it and being like, wait a minute, there's still 20 minutes left. Like, how are they giving us more? Like, it feels a little too rich, a little too sweet. Like, it's so good.
Let me get some milk for this.
Right? Like, it's just, oh, it's so good. So they're preparing for the party and she's telling him that, you know, he's got to get ready and he needs a lot of Coach Shaw pep talks, mm-hmm. which I was like, I was listening extra close to their exchanges because it's always like, how much was Jen involved and how much was Coach Shaw involved? And like, it's so funny how she'll be like, he's in everything. He's like, but then she'll also be like, he know, like, Stu knows more than Sharif knows. So you're like, okay, so maybe Coach Shaw didn't know, and maybe that's the secret that her and Stu have, is that they're ripping off people.
I think that what's complicated for me is, like, also part of what makes, and I say makes because I do believe she will return, Jen Shaw,
sure,
a great housewife, is because from the beginning she understood that, like, really being a housewife is almost like performing a heightened version of yourself.
Yes.
But the thing is, in her life, she clearly, there already was a layer of performance.
Absolutely.
And so at a level of, I just say things and usually don't get called out online. Like, so it's so hard to say, like, what was what.
Yeah, you can't really tell because it's just like it. She was just always lying, I think. Oh, I forgot to talk about the music because So we're both Crappens fans. Watch What Crappens. And they always talk about the music. And to this day, Ronnie always talks about the song that they played. And I was like, I have no idea. That's the other one. It's always like, and even in the intro, it's like, like it's like so much angelic choir stuff going on, but there's one that's like yeah. So weird. And I was like, once I started picking up on it, they did it during the Whitney scene, and I like couldn't unhear it. I was just like, oh my god, this is so weird, did that really just happen? And like 2 minutes later it happened again, and I was like, what? So the music of Salt Lake is very different than other Housewives and very silly, very choir.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Then we get the high-heeled scene that was just so epic. I just remember this getting like memed so much, of just Jen's high heel touching the snowy ground, coming out of the black car, the black SUV, and just like teetering through the Salt Lake snow into, I believe they're going to Lisa's house. I forget if it's Lisa's or Meredith's. This is, again, like, at this time, it's hard to tell them apart, except Meredith has, like, giant eyebrows. Really funny. And they sit down and they talk, and this is where we get one of the major beefs of the season, which is that Heather and Lisa went to college together, but Lisa pulls a Mariah Carey and goes, I don't know her. I don't remember her. I don't. And she further adds insult to injury by going, I don't remember her, but she was one of those girls that was like, honor code, what? And she like does a Girls Gone Wild, like boob flashy thing.
Oh, the other thing that she was like, I don't remember her, but I knew her reputation and it was bad. It's like, rude, first of all. But did you clock how she was like, well, I always lived off campus.
Yeah. I did catch that.
Oh, they kicked you out as soon as you turned 17. And I'm sorry, who paid for your off-campus housing then?
That's true. That's a really good catch, because she talks about how she was like, I was 17 and my parents were like, bye, you're out of the house. And then...
That's really good, actually.
It's scary sometimes how I can like, I love that. I love that about me. It's kind of like a Luann...
No.
So the next scene is Mary walking down the street, fringe, boots, and like this really cool jacket that looks like a woman's face and like the hair. And it's just such a weird, like, Mary's style is art to me sometimes, but then it's like also like really like, wait, why? Because like her like in between section card where it says like Mary, like she looks like something that like Diane Chambers would wear on Cheers in 1984. Like, it didn't make any sense. So like, she's always like, oh, I'm always in designer, and I'm like, are you?
I believe that she's always in designer, but I think that there's a certain type of person where they think that if something's designer, then it's good.
Yeah, that's true.
And definitely that.
But we find out that her and Whitney are the friends.
Isn't that wild?
Like, the Whitney's the way into this group, supposedly. And I'm shocked. And, like, it's because they know each other through Mary's cousin.
Yes.
And Whitney's telling us that, like, Mary's always wearing fashion. And, like, we kind of see Mary's closet where she's just naming designer after designer. And then we cut to a confessional where Mary's wearing a green blazer. And she's like, I love this because it makes me happy, not because it's Dolce & Gabbana. And Mary, and it's asking Whitney what she's been up to. And Mary's like, and Whitney's like, oh, I just got, you know, the vow renewal. And she was like, you know, it's been 10 years. And Mary's like, well, I've been married 21, so I know all about that. And then we cut to Whitney and she's like, everybody knows about Mary and her husband. And so then there's like this awkward confessional with Mary and her husband where she's like, well, it was kind of arranged that I was going to marry her. Like, my grandmother made it that way. And then, like, he tells us, he's just like, she always said that if anything happened to her, one of her girls would take care of me. And it's like, it wasn't, like, it's so weird.
Yeah, she's like, it was kind of in the will. It's like, no. First of all, nothing's ever kind of in the will, but like, this was not. It just wasn't.
Also, if you listen to the Bravo docket, they do a great episode about Mary, and like, it's really interesting to hear how, like, there was circumstances around Mary's grandmother's death that is like not 100% clear, and not sure if he wasn't right. involved. And so who knows?
But I mean, we don't have time to like get into all of it, but the stuff about how Mary herself was previously married and kind of just.
Wait, Mary was married before him?
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that.
And then, like, kind of, like, got rid of him by, like, saying that he, like, made her do bad things. But it was, like, it was, I haven't checked the facts on that recently. So, you know, my memory is off, but it's definitely worth reading into.
She tells us also that Mary's just crazy. She's Pentecostal. That's not why she's crazy. But we see that she's inherited the faith temple. And
you inherit like a church. Like, I'm sorry. Like, isn't that supposed to be a calling? Like, I don't.
But we also see Mary preaching, which we don't see enough of anymore. Cause I guess because now she's a friend of, and also like her church might be like under investigation. But like,
I would say amen to that.
I don't know though, because it also like the Bravo docket makes it sound like they are just like Teflon, because you can't really go after churches. I don't know. But I love that Mary is preaching with a gold microphone. And like, it's just, it's really interesting to watch. And so we go back to them at lunch, and like Whitney's like, I just got an invite from Jen to Meredith's birthday party. Are you invited? And then like Mary's just like, no, she doesn't like me because I told her that she smells like hospital, which is the other drama of this season, which is just amazing.
And honestly, Team Jen.
Really?
Yes.
I don't know, rewatching it, I'm just kind of like, knowing that Mary's such an odd bird, she was just like, you just smell like hospital. I don't know.
Listen, Oh, no, it was Matt Rogers who was on Watch What Happens Live last week. And he was like, Mary, you mean the meanest woman in America? It's like, yeah, she's a mean woman. She knows that that's rude. She's had it explained to her how it's rude in case she didn't know, and given the opportunity to say like, oh, also, here's the thing. She could have slid out of that without even really having to apologize, if she just, as a God-fearing woman, like leader of a faith community, was like, how is your aunt? I've been thinking about her so much. Like,
that's true. That's very true. But like, to me, I'm like, that's Mary's character. Though, of this Mary and Whitney scene is that Jen does invite Mary to the party after all,
right? Although I think at the time I assumed, and I still kind of wonder if actually, no, you know what, Whitney does not have the emotional intelligence to do this. If she was like, hey, just so you know, I'm with Mary and I accidentally told her about it, if you were gonna invite her, like, never mind.
No, it turns out that it was she was on Meredith's list, and seeing as they're still friends, I do think that that was true.
Yeah.
But remember, this is still a Jen Shah party for Jen Shah. So we cut to her getting the house ready. And good God, this party must have been so fucking expensive. Because she's like, we are going to basically tent the outside and the inside. Like, she's like, you'll see none of the walls. It will all be white draping.
But you know what? She was like, and how is the draping on this? And the guy was like, in progress. And he was sewing it. So I'm like, I wonder if she just employs an army of assistants to like make this stuff at like bare rock, like rock bottom prices.
It was just wild. So Jen's got a microphone and she's directing everyone, which I'm just like, everyone in this house run. Because also, if I'm speaking to you, listener, and you are in a situation where someone who manages you, when they think that you're not being productive, gets out a megaphone or a microphone to bark orders at you, just run. Just oh, run the other way.
Oh, this is the scene where she's wearing the Brooke Marks tracksuit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Did not clock that.
I know. Well, obviously I didn't the first time either, because we didn't even know. We were babes in the woods.
We didn't know yet. Heather comes to the party set up, and she had to park really far away, and her and Jen sit down. They talk about the interaction of Lisa's, I don't know her. And it's really like, Heather is really hurt. And this is where I'm very much on Heather's side, because she's like, I got married so young. I wish that I had a wild college time, but like, I signed an oath, like an honor oath. And like, I was very much Mormon. And I like, one of my biggest wishes is to go back and be a, like a wild girl, a good time girl. Like, I really do believe her that she probably didn't go wild. And she's like, and her saddest part is she's like, I didn't get to do any of that. But now that she said it, I might as well have. And now it's like, I have all the shame of doing it without ever having the fun of doing it. And I really feel for her in that moment.
You know, so much of her journey, especially the last couple seasons, has been officially breaking from the Mormon church. Mm-hmm. And like, we talked a little bit about how like, when she parties, she kind of acts like, you know, a little bit like a wild, like, you know, 20 something, like, out. And it's like, it really is so like true, I guess, for her, that she has this like feeling that like she really missed out on a chunk of her life because she was Mormon. And I don't know, it kind of makes me, I mean, I love Heather still, like, I'm an apologist even, but it just makes me kind of appreciate and like root for her a little bit with like what she's doing for herself now.
I agree. I feel like at least she's able to have fun now, but you do get the sense that she was really, really repressed and she yes. wasn't able to be her whole self. And it's just, it makes me sad for her, but happy at the same time. And like, that's the thing, like season one, Heather is such a great character because you're really like, I love that this is like, we're getting to see a woman who is truly finally being themselves for the first time. And it's a very interesting watch.
Yeah.
So then we cut to, it's Meredith's birthday and she is home, or she's not home yet. Brooks is home and he's talking to Seth and they're working on a floral surprise, and the whole place, as Seth puts it, looks like a Prince video. And Brooks says the most upsetting thing I've ever heard. I don't know who that is.
I know. Ugh.
What are we teaching our children in school?
Get some culture.
Like like, you know what schools need to do is play VH1 Behind the Music for everyone. Like that just needs to be our PBS, because we learned so much rich culture. Like, I mean, just so much crazy music knowledge is from those behind the music stuff. Like,
yep.
Something.
I was even of the generation where I like started watching VH1 right when like Best Week Ever, I Love the 80s,
yeah,
stuff happened, and I was hooked. And like that, I mean, I learned a lot, like the one hit wonders, like I watched that front to back, like ugh. But also like you, that means
yeah,
like,
I'm old enough that I auditioned to be on that and did not get it.
Ugh, your loss, my loss for not getting to like see
really
that.
Really sad. And I was friends with the booker too, you know, that's the saddest part.
That would have been really fun. But I was going to say that. Oh, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. Like, also, that means that he'd never watched the Baz Luhrmann Romeo and Juliet and desperately needed to figure out what song that was when they did When Doves Cry.
It's very true. That whole movie is amazing. I can't. We need to like have a whole other discussion about how great that movie is. I would watch that movie any time of day. In fact, I like had a crisis because it like for a little while you couldn't stream it anywhere, and I was just like, but I need to watch it. Like I was like calling friends that I like knew in high school, being like, do you sell the DVD? Because like I need it.
I wrote a college paper on it.
I definitely did, because I was way into Shakespeare. I think actually mine was Taming of the Shrew and Kiss Me, Kate, and all of the film iterations that were
tempting.
Similar. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. Let's go on a Shakespeare tangent. No, just kidding.
don't even get me started.
I know. Don't get me started. Don't even get me started. We've got Seth with the flowers everywhere, and Brooke doesn't know what Prince is, and like, so this is supposed to be this big romantic surprise. And so Meredith walks in and she's kind of like, what is this? And she says it in the tone that like I just like heard my mom, like the back half of that sentence, which is like, am I gonna have to clean this up? Do I think that Meredith has somebody to clean it up? I feel like she's more like, am I gonna have to tell somebody to clean this up? But like immediately it's like, it's a very nice thing, but like rose petals everywhere, I just, all I immediately think of is like, how long do I let this sit before I have to clean it? Because you can't just, you just can't have petals everywhere. That's just not life. What are we like in Coming to America? Like it just can't happen.
Not with dogs running around.
Yeah, it's dangerous. And baby Brooks could slip and fall. Like there's so many dangers. But Meredith tells us that she's just like, I am really upset that Seth isn't here for my birthday. We really try to do birthdays together. And like, well, I get that this is a gesture. The gesture should be him here. So I do feel for her on that. We also find out that Meredith is 48 years old, which I say it in that way because she looks amazing. I want to look that good at 48. I don't know if I can afford to look that good at 48, but
she does. She looks great for 48.
So then Brooke starts to help her into the giant dress that she wears, which is, I mean, again, the fashion immediately on this show. Like, we don't get it from everybody, but when we get it, it's phenomenal.
This is, it's the Christian Cowan, which is the look that I put on Floof, because Christian Cowan did a collaboration with a dog company called Wild One, and I have that sweater in the same hot pink color.
It's amazing. I'm so jealous. The amount of money that I've spent on dog clothing, like,
I mean, I'm reselling so many of my things, but like, many of those dogs
want to plug your closet. Should we plug your closet?
Oh yeah, I'd love that. Well, I'm on Poshmark and Mercari and eBay, but I guess you can find me on Poshmark. It's Kate the Great, so KaiteThee Great. So like Megan the Stallion, but a lot less cool. And Kate the Great.
And you've got a lot of great clothes. So if you're looking for some fun closet to check out, go there. But yeah, are you reselling dog clothes?
Some of them, yeah. Well, I have some stuff that like they just never wore and like wasn't the right size. But it's like, I mean, it's so hard to let go of like their stuff more so than it is for me.
Oh, yeah. No, my stuff you can take all day. Like,
yeah.
I still have Tina Turner costume from when she was little. I mean, she's still little. She like went from like 8.5 pounds to 10.2 pounds. Like,
and it's like, but now we can't deprive our children of a single thing that they might. It's like, they don't care about the sweater, but yeah.
Yeah. Did I tell you what she's going to be for Halloween?
No.
So I bought a fall dress because I'm just like, I can't like justify spending money right now on like a Halloween dress or a Halloween costume. And like, there was nothing that was really speaking to me for her. So I bought this like dress that's like very like fall pattern. It's like changing leaves and trees, and it's got some bows on it. And then I got her a little Puppuccino like chew toy, and she's going to be a Gilmore Girl.
That is so cute. Oh my gosh.
And speaking of fashion though, the fashions at this party, it's a hit or miss, I would say. Like, there's a lot of pink sequins, which I'm for, but like, a lot.
Did we touch on Lisa's shady comment beforehand too?
No, go for it.
She was like, yeah, I don't really go in for that, like, you know, short dress and like stiletto heel look. I'm a real New Yorker. And I'm like, I don't know what New York you were in. Wasn't it like Syracuse?
I was thinking the same thing, but then I was like, ooh, but that is more of a bridge and tunnel look than like a Manhattan girl look.
But like, I mean, isn't she? But then it also, the editor shadily like cut right to Whitney toddling out of her house in like a Scoochie dress and pointy heels.
Oh, but also, I think it was Watch What Crappens that were saying that, like, Lisa's from upstate New York, and she keeps acting like she's from New York City, and, like, you've got to be honest about that. Like, I am from Long Island. I am not from New York City proper. Did I live in Queens for almost 20 years? Yeah. Yeah. I can claim Queens. My dad was from Queens. I wasn't brought up in Queens, though, and I'm not, like, I'm a New Yorker in the state sense. Not in the Manhattan sense. And like, I feel like Lisa's always trying to go for that. And I'm just like, everyone in New York, especially if there was a time that, like, I would say in the early aughts, like, even SJP in Sex and the City was wearing a short skirt and stilettos. So like,
it's like, bitch, you're from Schenectady. Like, shut up.
But Meredith, but Whitney's hair looked really good. I really liked her slicked back look.
Oh, I don't remember, but I feel like if I didn't note it, then it was probably good.
Yeah, it was really cute. And I liked her with shorter hair. Lisa comes in with a coat that's so giant, and she, and Heather starts talking shit about her. And she's like, she's wearing no arms in the jacket vibe. And like, I have to say, Heather, I agree. And this might be a hot take for some people, but there's nothing I hate fucking more than the look of people not putting their arms through sleeves and jackets, and I will die on this hill because it makes me anxious. I'm just like, that coat's gonna slip. And it doesn't make me feel cool that you're wearing it. It makes my shoulders hurt for you because I feel like there's just a lot of tenseness in your shoulders to make that work. And I'm just like, your jacket's gonna slip. And also, that's not a warm way to wear a jacket.
Counterpoint.
Okay, hit me with it.
I see it and it like scratches a part of my brain like ASMR, and it just looks so freaking cool to me. And like, I also can never pull it off because I got my little slouchy shoulders and like gesticulate all the time, and so everything is immediately on the floor even if I was wearing it fully a second before. But like, when someone pulls it off well, which Lisa did not, but when someone pulls it off well, I think it looks so cool.
I just want to run and like knock it off their shoulders. I'm just like, what?
I want to see that.
I really like, I feel like there will be one day if this style keeps up, mark my words. I just put your arms through your sleeves. Just, that's what they're there for. Like, either that or wear a cape. Like, I just feel like it's either or, not jacket, cape.
Like, more cape.
The agita that it gives me. I thought it was funny that Heather walks the red carpet into the party. I was like, weren't you there for the whole setup? Did you just like run around the house?
I would.
just for the red carpet moment. And then Jen, we see her getting ready and somebody's basically just spraying her underarms. And I'm like, I thought you stopped sweating.
No, that was Mary had them removed.
No, but when we see her, when we see Jen at Beauty Lab and Laser, she's getting her underarms the shots so that you don't get the Botox in your armpits so that you don't sweat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
I was kind of like, well, maybe she was just perfuming, but it looked like aerosol craziness going on under her arms.
Yeah. I was obsessed with, like, where in the world that girl that came in and was like, happy birthday to, like, Heather, but it was so confused.
No, it was to Jen. She was just like, Jen, happy birthday.
But that girl was like beautiful and looked like gorgeous. And I'm like, where is she? Bring her back.
Yeah, Sarah was her name. And she just like sings happy birthday. And she's like, wait, it's not. what do you mean it's Meredith? And like Jen's like, my birthday was in October. And she's like so angry. But she's just like, but everything says Sha. Like, it was just such a great like, just like random drunk extra roaming into the room.
Wait, is Jen a Libra or a Scorpio?
I don't know, but my guess is Scorpio.
Okay. Yeah, I would have thought so too. She is a Libra and actually shares a birthday with Alicia Silverstone.
Whoa, world's colliding. See, I told you that whole American woman tangent was going to come back.
Full circle.
So then we, when Meredith walks in, like, people are like, oh, hey, Meredith. When Jen walks in to the party, finally, everyone's like, yeah. And it's just like, and then we, like, cut to Meredith, and she's like, I knew no one, this wasn't a party for me. Like, she's just like, I'm not stupid. Like, the step in, the, her reaction to the step and repeat also, which is, like, Sha Chalet in, like, a rose wall. She was just, she was rolling her eyes. It was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
And then we finally have a sit down with Mary and Jen. And that's when, like you were referring to earlier, Mary opens up about her horror with the hospital because she's had several surgeries. And you're like, oh, wow, Mary, you've had a lot of surgeries. That sucks. And then she's like, removing every single sweat gland of my body?
And this is what, like, and this, too, even, like, there are rumors.
Odor gland, sorry, not sweat gland.
Yeah, but I think what she meant was also sweat glands.
Yeah, but, like, I don't think you could, don't you need to sweat?
I mean, this is also, there were rumors that, like, she was because she was in New York for several months, I think, doing getting medical procedures, which I think is what she's alluding to here. But the rumors then that came out afterwards is that a lot of them were elective and paid for by her church.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you also mean the rumors?
The rumors.
I love doing Meredith. This is this season, Salt Lake. The rumors about her husband.
A husband.
That's one of those Bravo things that's like become a Bravo tick where I'll just be driving and I'll just be like, the rumors. Maybe had the church pay for her, all of her sweat glands to be removed. And it was very traumatic because they almost lost her multiple times. And I mean, which is very scary, but also all I keep thinking is just like, all of them? All of your odor glands? Like, that just seems so wild. So like she's explaining this trauma and Chen's literally like, my aunt who raised me had an emergency surgery where she lost her legs.
Both legs.
And you're like, okay, Jen trumps it. And this is where you're right, where like it's like Mary is so mean that she's just like, but no, it was traumatic for me. And I'm like,
and not only is she not empathetic, she's like, maybe she should have eaten better.
Yeah. Yeah. That was real harsh. That was real, real harsh. So Jen excuses herself. She's like, I have to go. And then she slams these wooden doors and we hear her screaming at the top of her lungs about my family. How do you do this? And you know how you do that? You'd be Jen Cha. You'd be amazing. That's how you do that.
Oh, yes.
Because here's the thing. I'm not excusing it. And I'm not even being like, great work. But I am in the sense of great housewife work. Yeah, like,
for sure.
All of this, like even Mary being horrible is perfect housewife horrible.
Mm-hmm.
This is the right level. There's nobody just like being like, why aren't you genuine? Just be real. Like, nope.
It's, own it.
You smell like hospital and you know, you were a good time girl in college and I don't remember you. Like, this is the drama that we start off with and it's perfect. That's fine. It's so petty, but it's so ridiculous. And people are dressed insanely. The backdrop is gorgeous. Like, this is what I want from Housewives. And it is why it's worth the rewatch, my friends.
Yeah.
Final thoughts on this before we go?
Only final thought is just wow, 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 wow. And thank you so much for having me, and totally worth the rewatch, the discussion, all of it.
Thank you for being here, Kate, and I'm very excited for people to go to your Poshmark store, Kate the Great, and we'll put it in show notes. And next week Danielle and I will be back at it, and we're gonna start season five? I don't even remember. Season four was the Cindy Bar Shop, so we're going into season five of Housewives, and
delicious.
It's gonna be a wild ride. I can't wait for Heather Tommy Thompson. Holla! It's just gonna be a wild ride. So I hope you guys join us, and I appreciate you guys listening. Appreciate all the downloads, and we really appreciate all the nice messages that you guys sent us. While we've been on break, it was really nice to get these like kind like, what's going on? And the answer is life. And we're happy to do that.
If you watched American Woman, please reach out to Sue Funk.
Yes, thank you. That is a very important PSA at the end. I really want to talk about it. Well, have a great time, guys. Thanks so much for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.